Welcome to A World of Good podcast. My name is Andrew Gale. I'm so grateful that you're joining us for this conversation today. So we're doing something a little different for these next few podcasts. If you're watching or listening to these when they are coming out, then you may know we're in the middle of our Find Your Stride campaign, which is a time for us to encourage connection and support of our global personnel and global strategy. And if you want to know more about that, that specific campaign, you can go to our website, www.choggglobal.org, and then /findyourstride, all one word. You can get more information on that. To celebrate this fun week, we decided to do something different and release 3 podcast episodes in 1 week and to make them video podcasts. So if you're listening to this on one of the regular platforms, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, great, enjoy it. If you want a different experience, we have these 3 special episodes also as videos that you can find on our YouTube channel and on our Facebook channels as well. So today I am joined by Stephen and Peggy Beverly. We've had Stephen and Peggy on our podcast before. You are not new to this. I was trying to remember exactly when we had you, and we actually had you first season, first episode. You guys were
out of the gate.
Yeah. And then we had you join us, I think, in season 3 for another conversation. But always love having you on and getting to hear what God's doing, especially in Asia Pacific and in Sri Lanka. And so really grateful to have you on today. Thanks for joining us. And how are you guys doing?
We are doing very great. Very well. Thank you.
Good. Your internet seems really stable.
Oh, good. It's not always the case.
No, I know. You're coming in clearly. It looks good. I was pleasantly surprised. That's awesome.
Good.
That's awesome. Well, I am. You're going to see me sipping on my coffee regularly. I just took a red eye from California. I slept for about 90 minutes on the plane and got to my house about an hour ago. So I have showered and that's about it. So I will be drinking my coffee as we have this conversation to keep me alive and well this morning. But so grateful to be with you.
8 p.m. here, and I just told Peggy, don't look sleepy. So
you're allowed to look sleepy. Now, would you drink coffee at 8 p.m.?
No, I can't drink coffee that late.
I know.
Not anymore.
I know. I'm not to the point where it bothers me yet. I'm sure that day is coming. I think, you know, when I worked at a coffee shop, I drank a lot of coffee late into the night, and I maybe became immune to its effects. I don't know. Every once in a while, it'll do something weird, but I can drink coffee until the moment before I go to bed, and it usually doesn't do anything. So
I used to be able to do that.
Well, we just want to get to know you, your ministry, what you guys are up to. So before we kind of jump in, will you tell us where you are for those that don't know? And tell us a little bit about the community you live in, what that's like.
We are serving in Sri Lanka. We're starting our 9th year here, actually.
9 years. Wow.
9 years. Pretty amazing. Sri Lanka is a mainly Buddhist country. There's 78% Buddhist, 18% Hindu, and only 1% Christian here. So our community is
diverse.
Very diverse. Because there is Muslim community in our area. It's Catholicism and Muslim, as well as the others. So it's very diverse here where we are.
And for those who go ahead.
I was just gonna say, we have Muslims across the street, Buddhists next door, Catholics this way, and then some Hindus and Buddhists around. So we're just surrounded by different cultures and religions.
And prayers start at 5:30 in the morning, very loud. Not just the Muslims, but the Catholics.
And the Buddhists.
And the birds. The birds are very loud.
You know, I feel like Sri Lanka is one of those countries that people, if you ask them where Sri Lanka is, they'll act like they know because they feel like they should know, but they probably really don't know. So for those who don't know, act as if I don't. Where would we find you on a map? If we were trying to look for the country of Sri Lanka, where do we go?
Yeah, it's funny. A lot of people think that it's in Africa, but it's not. It's an island nation just southeast of India. So in the Indian Ocean.
And your climate, is it fairly tropical, warm? Like what's that? What's it like?
It's hot and humid almost all the time.
Even in the middle of the night.
Yeah.
So
So for you guys, what do you like? Maybe this is assuming that you like it, but what do you like best about serving in cross-cultural ministry?
So I prefer to use the term intercultural rather than cross-cultural, and reserve cross-cultural for kind of comparisons between cultures. So our ministry is extremely intercultural. Even if we weren't here, the Church of God in Sri Lanka would be intercultural. Mm-hmm. There are two major ethnic groups of Sri Lanka, and they're in the Church of God. They were at war with one another for 30 years. So some of those tensions and challenges remain. But in the Church of God, or in the church, is one of the few places that where you actually see the Tamil and Sinhalese together. Most of their communities are separate. They live separately, have different cultures, speak different languages, and don't necessarily know one another's languages. So it's a challenge for even them without, you know, adding our interculturalness to the mix. But yeah, it's really a challenge trying to understand the worldview of this culture, trying to even understand our own worldview enough to be able to separate ourselves from some of that and look at it more objectively, and what the relationships, how the relationships develop here with our Tamil and Sinhalese leaders. And so, yeah, it's extremely intercultural, interreligious, as we were trying to explain. When sometimes we walk around the neighborhood, we'll hear the Catholics singing and the Buddhists moaning and the Hindu priests doing what they do and the Muslims chanting all at the same time. And then the dogs start howling. And I think, I don't know if they're complaining or joining in. So, so yeah, it's quite intercultural, interreligious. And there are some other mixes as well, economically, socially. So a lot of that's there.
You made a comment right there that I thought was really fascinating. You said, you know, as you engage with other cultures, you start to learn about your own culture. I think sometimes when we connect with other cultures, it kind of becomes a mirror, both of all the good and the challenges. How have you, like, can you give us an example of where you've experienced that?
Yeah, so one of the challenges is particularly in Eastern cultures that are primarily a worldview of honor and shame, is, you know, as Westerners coming from a worldview of innocence and guilt, we don't necessarily put the same emphasis on honor and shame that Eastern cultures do. So just understanding that that is a real thing, it influences behavior. And for us to, and we see that behavior through the lens of innocence and guilt.
Yeah.
And can so you we're expecting.
I was going to say, sure. For those that don't know, honor and shame, give us like a 30,000 foot level of what you mean by that.
Yeah. So there are three major worldviews: innocence and guilt, honor and shame, and power, fear and power. And Western cultures are primarily innocence and guilt. So what behavior is determined by being guilty, what's right or what's wrong, is determined by whether or not it is influenced by your laws and your community. In honor and shame, your behavior is determined by what the community feels about what you've done, not necessarily whether it's right or wrong, but how your community feels about it. And so we would experience things from our Western perspective of innocence and guilt, and not understand and completely miss the honor and shame undertones of it. For example, try to do this quickly. shortly after we had arrived, we needed to go to the airport. The airport is 30 minutes, at that time, 45 minutes south of us. And our national coordinator, who lived 2 hours south of the airport, wanted to come take us to the airport. So he had to drive past the airport 2 hours to get to the airport, another 45 minutes to get to us, then take us back. And our flight was late at night. So it meant that he would not be getting home until early in the morning. And we thought, no, we'll get a cab 45 minutes down the road. It's expedient. It's quick. It's easy. You were not keeping you up at night, putting you on the road, inconveniencing you. And so from our Western perspective of efficiency, that was the most logical solution. And it was probably 2 years later, he felt comfortable enough with us to explain how much we had hurt him but not allowing him the honor of taking us to the airport. We never would have considered it an honor to be inconvenienced to take us to the airport.
And you probably, I mean, you saw it as trying to be helpful to him. I mean, you were actually doing it out of your worldview, like even just the compassion of, I don't want to make you do this, you know, wow.
Right. So just learning to be sensitive to situations and realizing that we are not automatically going to see the reasons behind some of the behavior, because we just don't see honor and shame. We don't even know in all cases what brings honor and shame to some things. And so we've made some mistakes learning that certain issues, certain behaviors that we could do easily, teasing or calling someone out to answer a question where they may not necessarily know the answer. In American culture or Western culture, it's okay. Yeah, I don't know the answer, but in a culture of honor and shame, if you call someone out to answer a question they don't know, then they are shamed. And so we have to learn to be sensitive and learn to at least ask the question.
I think, yeah.
What is this going to affect in this worldview?
I think that's so good. And I was talking to some folks recently after a trip that I was on, I was kind of debriefing some of the cultural elements. And one of the things I said over and over is, you know, I don't know this culture well enough to know what culturally is happening, but I know something is happening. Like, I can tell that there's something that is different than the way we would have engaged in this conversation or been a part of this group or how this meeting would have been handled. It would have been different in American context. So I don't know exactly what is underpinning it, but there's something. And that's where that's the fun of like asking those questions then, of being able to go, so help me understand what's going on here. And I think when you're able to do that, just being sensitive to it is the first step, and then engaging of what is it, what does that mean, and how do you try to be aware? You're never going to be fully I'm never going to be there long enough to really get it perfectly,
right?
But at least to be aware of when you're making those mistakes and being willing to ask forgiveness. And yeah, that's good. Mm-hmm. What's one place that you've seen God show up recently?
Oh, so we are in the process of trying to help build 3 churches. And so that process is challenging. Buying property here is extremely challenging. Well, part of the initial challenge is just finding someone who's willing to sell to Christians, because many places won't even sell to us because they don't want Christians in their area. So once we get past that, then there's just all the property laws and all the things that are involved, and then getting approvals. And again, another level of getting approvals from government agencies that may not necessarily want Christians in their village or in their communities. But we have been so excited to move forward with one of our properties. We were able to complete a purchase and everything went very smoothly with that. So we are really excited about that. And so God is on the move. We have 2 of those properties of the 3 churches. We're still looking for a third, but we've come to expect God to do incredible things. And so when troubles come, when challenges come, and boy, they do, even unexpectedly, we just kind of, we don't get too flustered anymore. We used to, but we've seen God do so many things that we couldn't have done it ourselves. And we know that it's God. And so we rely on that. We have come to rely on that.
And patiently wait.
And patiently wait. Yes.
That's hard to do sometimes.
Very.
It is, especially when we want things to go quickly, when we've our partners are waiting for news to hear about what's happening and we're wanting to tell them.
And this isn't just these aren't like just for fun projects. These are like meeting a real need. And so you see the need, you want to meet it.
Yeah.
How has, as you've engaged there in Sri Lanka, you said you've been there almost a decade, right? 9 years. So how, I would love both of you to share if you have thoughts, how has your faith grown or changed as you, we talked about, you know, as a mirror to our culture, right? And that's caused, talk now about your faith. Has it been a mirror to your faith as well? And what does that look like? What has that done as you processed your faith in light of this intercultural interaction?
Well, I'd say for me, just depending on God a whole lot more than I thought I would probably have to or need to.
Yeah.
In every situation, from cooking, housework, engaging with our leaders, with the ladies, with the women, and just as I was saying, learning patience, because the women aren't active with what goes on here. They're at home taking care of the household needs and the children and things like that. And the men are able to come to our trainings and participate a lot more. And so it was a struggle for me to a lot of times be the only female, you know, there and just like, okay, what about the ladies, you know, and them not participating. And so just praying, okay, God, what do I do? You know, finding my place. I know that we're called, and sometimes I probably shared this before, would say, Stephen, you go and I'll just stay here, you know, cause you know, why am I there? And he said, because God has called us together, you know, this is our ministry together. And eventually it started coming out where a lot of the younger couples were excited to see us working together because it gave
ministering together
because then they felt that she could be a part, and she felt that she could be a part because a lot of times they didn't feel valued or anything like that. And so to step up and hear God through him many times, no, we got to go through. Mm-hmm. And so I say, okay. And so just growing in that and trusting God in so many ways. We always said that our journey has been absolute surrender. And so every day I have to surrender. And so drawing closer to God in that, saying, Lord, I surrender this. When I'm feeling some uneasiness, when I'm feeling, I don't know, you know, what's my value here or anything like that. And just surrendering it all to him. Yeah. And allowing him to speak into my life. And then I can speak into their lives as well. So.
Awesome. I love that. I think, you know, we can become very, complacence, maybe not the right word, but we become so just normalized into our situation, you know, that when you're in a place that's so different, you can't do that the same way, you know? And so it forces you to be more aware. And certainly then you have an opportunity to really experience God's spirit in the midst of that, because you're just more aware of your need for God in the midst of all that. So, yeah.
It's exciting because he always shows up. He always brings comfort. He always has a word, you know, and just brings that comfort that, okay, you know, I can wait. Okay.
I love that you guys have been able to model that, though. That's really cool that you've been able to model ministry together. I think that's, again, there's something about our faith that's countercultural, and even though culturally it may be different for them, there's a real neat opportunity there for you guys to model that. So what do you wish people knew about the intercultural work that you're a part of? Like people that are here in the States that like, what do you go, man, I wish people understood this.
So one of the things that I have felt is really important is to understand that what we used to say, you know, we used to feel like, you know, when we arrived in Sri Lanka, we would have to bring the ministry here. But we realized that God was already here. God was already active. God was already at work. And that's the same thing even in the States, when because there are people coming from all over the world, even in our backyards, and we can minister interculturally even at home, whether or not we ever own a passport, we can be engaged in intercultural ministry right at home. And it's not that we have to initiate God's work, because God is already at work. God is already speaking in the hearts of those who are of a different culture than we than our own. And I think that's what is significant about intercultural ministry, that we don't have to be afraid of cultures because we don't understand them, because we don't know the language. God is already at work. God is already speaking into those cultures and into that person's heart. And it's intercultural.
Which is so freeing to know yes. that God's already at work. You know, it allows you then to honestly be a friend and partner to someone, because that's you know, what you get to do, rather than feeling like you're someone's a project or something to be done, because God's already doing it. And we get to just join in the work that God's already a part of. Yeah. So if someone wanted to pray for you, what are some things they can be lifting up in the next months, years? I don't know. Maybe next month is a little bit a better time frame for prayer.
Well, we have a lot of things going on. We are hoping to start some, I know this sounds kind of boring, but we have board training coming up, which is extremely important to the sustainability of the ministry, so that they know how to be an effective and active board. That's important, and that training is expected to last 6 months, starting in June. We have our pastor's family retreat. It's the first time that we'll be bringing our pastors and their families together for a time of celebration, a time of rejuvenation. We're expecting to do that in August. Mm-hmm. We are hoping to take several of our pastors to Nepal for the Asia Pacific Conference. Mm-hmm. And that will be a new experience for many of them as well. And then we're also still working on these three churches, the properties, now that we have two of them. We are hoping to start construction very soon, and we're looking forward to the day that we can invite anyone to come visit those churches and experience worship in those places, and to hear the amazing stories that the pastors tell about the things that they go through on a daily basis to serve Jesus here.
Well, we will definitely be lifting those things in prayer. I think it'll probably be too quick, but I will be with you in Sri Lanka in November. So I can't wait to connect in with the church there. And I'll see you in Nepal, and then hopefully travel back with you. I think I'm excited to get to be on the ground with you and see what's happening. And we'll be lifting up those requests. Thank you so much for just giving us some time today to share what's
been. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to A World of Good. A World of Good is a podcast production of Global Strategy and Church of God Ministries. Our theme song is Colorado by Leo Flores. If you want to join the conversation, visit us at Twitter at A World of Good Pod, on Instagram, A World of Good Podcast, or visit our website, chogglobal.org/A World of Good. And join us next time as we share more stories of good from around the world.